Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Wessels, Brother and Sister, Peter. Sunnyside, Kooranbong, New South Wales, Australia. March 8, 1897. Portions of this letter are published in 6B, C1073. Dear Brother and Sister Peter Wessels, I am not expecting that this will be copied. Will you please tell me in your next if you can read it? For I would be pleased to write to you sometimes in my own handwriting. I should be very much pleased to see you and your little family. May the Lord give you both grace to do His will. Let not your faith fail, neither be discouraged. Are you not glad that Jesus knows our every weakness? He knows how to succor those who are tempted. I have great hope that you, with your brother Philip, will be overcomers. You both should stand firmly for the truth, and not, by any course of action you may pursue, bring dishonor to God. Your time, your character, your influence would be given to do Him service. Be true to yourself, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. May the Lord grant His Holy Spirit to rest upon you in large measure. Then you will reveal Christ in words, in spirit, and in character. The mind that is brought into captivity to Jesus Christ will meditate upon heavenly things, and oh, how sweet will be that contemplation! By the infinite sacrifice that the Lord God of heaven has made in giving His Son, that sinners might be saved from eternal death, we know that He means to counterwork sin. He has provided this expensive means to save the souls who would surely perish if He had not done so. In the place of punishing the guilty sinner, the Lord allowed His only begotten Son to suffer the penalty of transgression, that man might have another opportunity, that another probation might be granted him in which to return from transgression and sin to his loyalty to God, and stand before God in repentance. He cannot hope to stand before God innocent through the merits of Jesus Christ while he continues in sin. He must cease to transgress and become loyal and true. The Lord has given Jesus to our world, to a life of suffering and a shameful death, in order to save perishing souls. And having done this, He will not withhold any facilities, any gift of heaven, that will enable man to accomplish the glorious work of salvation. By thus dying for man, Christ has shown that His love for the human family is measureless. And in rising from the tomb and proclaiming over the rent sepulchre of Joseph, "I am the resurrection and the life," He makes manifest His triumph over death. John 11, verse 25. God would have us realize that all this was done to counterwork sin and rebellion against God, and bring in everlasting righteousness. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John 1, verse 12. He is able and willing to save unto the uttermost all who come unto God by Him. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Jesus, the precious Savior, is your only hope. He loves you. He wants you to have faith in Him and to prove Him. Do not let anything arise to trouble and cause you to lose your hold on God. Let us be sure that we retain our connection with God as His children, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Romans 8, verse 17. God loves His obedient children. He has a kingdom prepared, not for disloyal subjects, but for His children whom He has tested and tried in a world marred and corrupted by sin. As obedient children, we have the privilege of relationship with God. If children, He says, then heirs to an immortal inheritance. Verse 17. Christ would have us yoke up with Him. Learn of me, He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 29. We shall be overcomers. We shall see His face, and His name shall be in our foreheads. Revelation 22, verse 4. We shall be His chosen ones on earth, to enjoy the kingdom of His grace, and we shall be with Him to share in His kingdom of glory in the heavenly world. We shall be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, for He is our portion and our inheritance. We are partakers of His own divine nature, and one with Him in His perfection. We have the same life as Jesus. We are sons and daughters of God. Christ and His people are one. God loves his children who are overcomers, the same as he loves his only begotten Son. Then let us have a sense of our relationship to God and walk circumspectly before the world, for this is our training place for heaven. If we would be saints above, we must first be saints below. We see a great work to be done. We are not half awake. We need strong evidences at this time that the Lord is with us of a truth. We need to consecrate ourselves and all we have to the service of God. We are to be laborers together with him. Wherever you are, remember that you are near to God. He would have you surrender yourself to him with all that you possess. It is all the Lord's. Let us sense the fact that the Lord sees us, that he hears every word we utter. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15, verse 3. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Psalm 139, verse 4. Satan may put into our hearts the inquiry, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Psalm 73, verse 11. Satan would have men forget that God is watching over them. If we would only believe that angels of God are constantly around us to protect us from Satan's snares and to be a present help in every time of need, we would grow strong. Sensing the companionship we have, we would do the things that are pleasing in the sight of God. How careful would we be lest our words should offend Christ, whose character we are to represent to the world? We need to meditate and converse upon the love and compassion and mercy of God for us. Satan is not at all pleased with such pure, ennobling, and elevating themes, and he draws apart from us. It is for this reason that the words are given us, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." James 4, verse 8. Let your thoughts and conversation be upon heavenly things. God's promise to us is, "I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Jeremiah 31, verse 33. The truth, holiness, and perfection of character are attainable to everyone who strives for it. This is made the very foundation of the new covenant of the gospel. There has been no substitution of a changed law. The law spoken of on the Mount of Blessings to the people was the same law we have had from the beginning. In his teachings, Christ showed how far-reaching are the principles of the law spoken from Sinai, and he made a living application of that same law whose principles remain forever the great standard of righteousness, the standard by which all shall be judged in that great day when the judgment shall sit and the books shall be opened. The law of Jehovah is the tree, the gospel is the fragrant blossoms and fruit which it bears. The Lord Jesus was, in his work, to fulfill all righteousness, and as the head of humanity show man that he can do the same work, and meeting every specification of the requirements of God. Through the treasures of his grace furnished to the human agent, not one need miss heaven. In the keeping of God's commandments, the path has been made easier to the fulfillment of all righteousness. Thus may we magnify the law and make it honorable. This is the precious privilege granted to us individually. The Lord is soon to come. We want to be among the number who are admired by all them that believe. We need to pray daily, to study and obey the Word of God. May the Comforter be by your side as you read this letter, written by my own hand. Think much of the tender compassion of Christ, and let your whole soul, strength, mind, and might be devoted to his service. I love you all as a family in Jesus Christ.